Today is Saturday, December 19th, 2015, and this...
Last night's Las Vegas debate was a lot like Vegas itself. Kind of fun, but with a nagging sensation you're getting screwed.
Is 500 by Midnight the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 532. Las Vegas,
I'm just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you think that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Honey, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Seems like a lovely evening for a podcast, mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say?
Sure. You had a Twitter poll about having a podcast, right?
Yep. And last time I checked, yes was leading over yes, 88% to 12%.
That's good.
So that's a good sign. Oh, we've got a lot to talk about tonight. I'm feeling pretty good. I've been drinking for a couple hours.
Drinking's fun.
Yeah. I don't know. It just felt like a night where I needed to have a couple.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Just dogs? One of
those days. Many reasons. I'm having a hard time getting my microphone situated. I think I got the static issue worked out.
Let's hope so.
Maybe, for the time being.
I apologize for the last show, both for the static and the content.
Yeah, well, they can't all be winners. It's free. What do they want? Oh, okay. So let's talk about
people
some
demand
stuff.
Quality, damn it.
I know. I try. Before we jump into the news, let me give a quick update, because last week I said that I was on the verge of finishing the audiobook, and it is indeed done, and I uploaded it to the service that handles distribution through Audible and iTunes and Amazon, and I'm waiting for approval. I have no idea.
Awaiting for approval or just awaiting approval?
I'm awaiting.
Can I correct your grammar as we go?
I'm awaiting
approval. You can
correct
mine.
And hopefully that will come soon. I have no idea how long it's going to take. I'm hoping it's like just a day or two, but it's already been a day or two. So I don't know. In the meantime, I sent
You've done what you can do.
I know. And then, of course, I'm so happy to be finished with it, but I'm sort of nervous that for some reason that they're going to find a reason to reject the files.
Oh.
And you know what? If that happens, I'm probably just going to figure out a way to distribute it on my own.
Okay.
I don't know. I hope that doesn't happen, but we'll see. Regardless, it's done. And Kickstarter backers who...
contributed at a certain level to receive the audiobook.
Yep, $100 or more. They got it today.
Yay.
So if you can't recall what level you contributed at, you can log into Kickstarter and find that out. But you should have received an email from me if you were supposed to receive the book as part of your contribution level. So
did you attach pictures also?
Pictures of what?
Of you.
Why would I do that?
I don't know.
No, that's a horrible idea. Nobody signed up for that mess.
Okay.
So yes, the audiobook...
Signed up for this mess, though.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping the audiobook version will be available for sale in the next couple days, and I will, you know, as soon as it's
You'll pimp that shit as soon as it's ready.
Yeah, I'll whore myself out on Twitter and Facebook as usual. I still don't feel right. It's so hard to get used to selling your own shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird feeling.
I'm modest, but I want to make money.
People seem cool about it, though. Like, every time I post something, people retweet it and stuff.
That's cool. And that's really nice.
A bunch of other people have been, like, plugging it on Twitter and stuff, too, which is really cool. So I appreciate everybody spreading the word.
Yep.
And I know several of you have purchased copies for others for gifts, which is very nice of you.
Aw.
So, yes, the paperback version continues to be available through Amazon or directly through me at Vegas. LasVegasOutsidersBook.com.
You almost said Vegas Internet Mafia Family Picnic, didn't you?
I probably did. It's also available, if you're in Las Vegas and want to pick it up, it's also available at the gift shop at the D Las Vegas. They are carrying the book as well, so that's kind of cool. And then the ebook version is available via Kindle, Nook, and Kobo. I got a sweet, sweet Kobo payment today in the amount of $41.94.
Hey, wow.
I don't know how many books that covers, not very many. What I've learned,
I was expecting that number to be lower.
It's the second payment of such amount. What I've learned from this whole experiment is that nobody has a Nook anymore. There's been like 15 copies sold via Nook. So very small handful of people are still using the Nook.
Tiny handful.
The Kindle, however, is explosive.
Gangbusters.
Selling many Kindle copies and many many paperback copies. So print is not dead, my friends. People are buying the hard copy left and right, which pleases me. Although I'm a Kindle guy myself, I buy more books via Kindle than anything else now. There's something to be said about holding a book in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. You're looking at me like, okay, wrap this shit up.
No. I'm trying to think of something insightful to say.
All right. Let's talk about Las Vegas stuff, since that's where why we are all here. Oh, man, this is going to be a good show. First, let's mention this. The Las Vegas Review-Journal, which is the, I would say, primary newspaper in Las Vegas. There are a couple. You know, there's the Las Vegas Sun, there's Las Vegas Weekly. But the Review-Journal is the big one as far as distribution and, you know, people know it. That publication has been sold. And normally I probably wouldn't. It was sold a few months ago and we didn't even mention it because who cares?
Now we care.
Well, it's just very interesting how this all came about. There was all this mystery surrounding the sale.
And the new owners.
The new owners chose to be anonymous. And that only lasted like a week. And the Review Journal reporters, they did some investigating and uncovered the owner, who it turns out is Venetian and Palazzo owner Sheldon Adelson.
Oh, was that loud?
I don't know what that was.
Was that out loud? Those supposed to be hiss.
So there's speculation that he wants to use the newspaper for political influence because he's very politically active and gives a lot of money to one of the two parties. He says that's not the case, that it's an investment. He doesn't plan to use it for anything except for, you know, a business opportunity to make money, that it's a successful business, and that's why he decided to invest in it. And then the Review Journal reporters uncovered that before they knew who the ownership was, there were some assignments that they had to keep an eye on some of the judges in the state and report on their activities.
Uh-huh. Why?
But the information wouldn't be used in any reports. And then, like, one of the judges is involved in some lawsuit that Adelson's
is against
companies.
The Sands. Or,
yeah, there's all kinds of shit. So there's
shady as fuck.
Well, that's the speculation, that there's some nonsense going on there. I don't know.
I've been drinking. I'm going to be swearing. Yeah. So I should have said that at the beginning of the show. I'm also going to be incoherent, which, you know, is a given. So
the other interesting twist is one of the Review Journal reporters, Sheldon Adelson, loves to sue people, and you know,
yes,
he's very he'll if somebody
he's litigiously
them,
leaning.
Yeah, and one of the lawsuits several years ago involved one of the Review Journal reporters who wrote a book. And he didn't like the way he was characterized or something, sued. I think it was eventually settled, perhaps. But in the meantime, this reporter ended up having declared bankruptcy. A whole bunch of weird stuff there. So now this guy is working for Adelson. I wonder how he feels about it.
Ooh. Awkward.
Yeah. So anyway, the one thing that came out of this, and I have to say somebody else pointed this out to me, and I don't know if he wants to be... I don't know if I should mention who said this, but somebody pointed out this is the first time in recent history that the Review Journal reporters have actually done any worthwhile investigative journalism. It's like, yeah, that's kind of true. Like, you know, it's a very let's toe the line when it comes to the casino industry. They're not digging in too deep on anything.
We don't want to bite the hand that feeds, especially now.
And yet somebody buys their paper and suddenly they get all worked up into a frenzy.
Yeah.
It's kind of amusing to watch.
Hmm.
So I don't know. Yeah. Anyway. Oh, by the way, I might be quoted in a Review Journal article in the next week or so.
Oh, okay.
Unrelated to this. I was interviewed a couple days ago about the state of podcasting. So we'll see if I make the cut. It'll be interesting. I look forward to seeing Tom. Fuck. The static is back.
God damn it. We tried to fix it.
I know.
We have new cables.
Okay. Well, okay. If it happens again, we'll pause and
we'll figure it out. We don't want to subject our listeners to more torture than they're already subjected to.
No. Anyway, I look forward to seeing how I'm misquoted in this article.
That's nice.
No slam on the reporter. He was
really nice, wasn't he?
Lovely gentleman. But I know how these things go, and there's about a 50-50 chance that I'll be misquoted.
Huh.
That's how it goes. If you're ever quoted in the press.
Did, Do you say this as a member of the press?
Sure. I've interviewed people, but that's why I record most of my interviews and make sure I get my quotes accurate.
Okay.
But as soon as you're in some sort of a news story in any way, you quickly learn that the majority of news coverage you're watching on TV and reading in the newspaper is fucked up. I'm telling you, there's a lot of stuff that's wrong.
Hmm.
So, and I'm not the only person to feel that way. I've had many other people who've been quoted say, yeah, well, it's kind of what I said.
Hmm. Is it to meet the angle of the article?
Well, in some cases, maybe, but I just think in general, it's like when you're just jotting things down as somebody is telling them to you.
Do you think he was recording it, though?
No, he didn't tell me he was recording it. Although I never tell anybody I'm recording it either. I don't think so. Who knows? Anyway, I'm sure it'll be a lovely article and I'll be quoted accurately and honestly.
And you'll be pimping the shit out of that when it comes out. Yeah.
We'll see. It depends what I said. Depends what I'm accused of saying. I did say when I was asked what my expectations for the podcast were long term, and I said I hope to be bought out by Sheldon Adelson. That went over, but like a lead balloon.
Like a fart in church.
Pretty much.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. Moving along to some news that we really care about, some more, you know, fun, touristy kind of news rather than this business bullshit. Let's talk about Aria a little bit. Aria announced this week that it will be expanding its convention center over the next couple of years. And as part of that, they are going to be shit canning the theater and thus the show's Arcana. This is their Cirque show. It's been around since 2012. It replaced Viva Elvis. That is going to be going away. They are no longer going to have any entertainment space, which seems kind of odd for a casino, hotel, resort of its size to not have any theater space, wouldn't you say?
Their theater space hasn't done well, though.
No, I know. And they're saying it has nothing to do with ticket sales, that they just needed the space for the convention expansion.
I think it has something to do with ticket sales.
I'm sure it contributes. If they had a massive successful show on their hands, they would move it somewhere else.
Exactly.
But no, they're just canning it. It's going to run through April 2016. So
have we heard much about Zarkana?
A few things here or there. It's the one with the sand painter.
Oh, that's right. And there was the big controversy whether the sand painter was live or not.
Yeah, live or Memorex. MGM Resorts, the owner, is saying that the new 5,000-seat theater at Monte Carlo will in part fill the void. But I don't know. That's kind of like, I don't know. I think that's kind of a cop-out.
Hmm.
Not that it matters. If they don't want to have a theater, they don't have to. But it just seems a little strange that they wouldn't have one, since that's so typical of a major resort.
Of a hotel casino property.
Yep. The convention business in Las Vegas, of course, is gigantic, and this is certainly not the first expansion of convention space in recent history. The Las Vegas Convention Center, of course, is doing a major, major, major expansion using the Riviera land and other surrounding land, as well as a complete renovation of its current space, which we discussed last week. And then Mandalay Bay recently expanded its convention center as well. So there's a lot of focus being put on convention business. There's a lot of money to be made there.
Yep.
Aria wants a little bit more of it, apparently. I don't blame them.
Aria wants a piece of the pie. I like pie. Do you like pie?
Yeah. I'm not crazy about convention pie.
If convention pie were a flavor, what would it be?
It'd be boring and stale. I don't know what boring, I don't know. It'd be like stale apple pie.
You're not a big fan of apple pie.
It's okay.
It's not your favorite of the pies.
No, we've been through this. We've talked too much. We've had too much pie talk on this podcast. Let's not get into that again. Let's talk about Aria's neighbor, Cosmopolitan. The CEO from that resort, Bill McBeth, was on KNPR radio this week discussing a few things having to do with the property and Las Vegas in general. The biggest news that I wanted to discuss was summarized very nicely by our friend Tommy Lorenzo at theVegasParlay.com. And that includes the long-rumored new sports book. He did confirm the sports book is going to be relocated from its puny space on the second level to a new space in the southeast corner of the casino on the first floor near the strip and kind of on the Aria facing, or the city center facing side, I guess I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be about 8,500 square feet, which is more than three times larger than the current sports book. They're going to have lounge seating. They're going to have a new bar as well.
Yay for new bars.
Yep, new sports bar. I'm sure there will probably be video poker there, as most sports bars do in Las Vegas. There's no opening date yet. There's no timeline, but that will be coming. So that's good news. Other things that he noted from the interview, in addition to the new lounge that's replacing Book and Stage, which of course is called Click, there's going to be a high limit slot room right next door to that. So if you've seen pictures lately, or if you've walked through Cosmopolitan and you've noticed like half the casino floor walled off on that whole side of the building between the old Book and Stage space and the front, that's what's going on. They're adding a high limit slot room there as well. And who knows what else, but Talon Club, the high limit space upstairs, is also going through an expansion. He said they're going to be adding about 40% to that space.
So they can have larger talons?
Bigger talons at Talon Club. And again, no timelines were given, but a lot of things going on at Cosmo. He did say that the previous owners had very little interest in the casino.
Hmm.
They had no, you know, it was an investment company. They weren't interested in operating a casino, so they put more of their attention on food and beverage and the hotel. And the current company is very interested in the casino. So that's why they're putting a lot of work into what's happening there.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to have a link in the show notes to the expanded description of the sports book?
I can do
Vegas Parlay?
I will link to that article.
Yes. Awesome.
By request from you.
Yay.
All right. Sorry, I just had to have a little sip of my cocktail. A
little beverage.
Some other plans for change happening down the strip at Wynn Las Vegas. They filed papers. Well, I don't know if it's papers. They filed plans with Clark County to add a new water feature. There's a small lake on the corner, and this is not the Lake of Dreams where Steve Wynn's balls reside. This is a different lake. This is a little lake outside of Wynn Las Vegas on Sands and Las Vegas Boulevard.
Can I go on a little sidebar?
About Steve Wynn's balls?
Yes. One of my coworkers mentioned that she went to Vegas and she was like, yeah. And we sat outside at Wynn and watched the water show. And I'm like, and I was this close to saying, did you see Steve Wynn's balls? And I thought, nope, don't want to take a trip to HR today.
I appreciate your restraint. Well done.
I'm sure my coworker does too.
Yes, no doubt. Yeah, so this lake is going to have, assuming this gets approved, which I can't see why it wouldn't, there's going to be a new circular-shaped fountain 48 feet in diameter, which will shoot water 25 feet high. It's not going to be the Bellagio fountains by any means. It's much smaller in scope and scale than the Bellagio fountains. I have no idea. It may be something very bland and boring, or maybe they'll do something that makes it... Maybe it'll do something different every hour. I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't know if it's going to be your run-of-the-mill fountain that just shoots water in the air, or if it's going to be something that has water and music and lights and all that stuff. So time will tell, but I thought it was worth mentioning because whenever Wynn does anything design...
What if they have Steve Wynn's balls and then they shoot water in the air?
I don't think that's going to happen. Steve Wynn's balls are not moving. Well, they are on the Lake of Dreams, but they're not relocating to this. But I appreciate you coming up with that idea. You can submit that in writing to the Wynn Las Vegas people.
I'm sure they'll take it seriously.
I'm sure they will, as do I. All right, let's talk about some restaurants that are opening and closing in Las Vegas. Let's start with, well, this isn't even really a restaurant. Are you okay? Can we continue? Yes. Let's talk about the little donut shop downtown called O-Face Donuts.
I was hoping you'd come up with a segue.
No, I've got nothing. It's located in the John E. Carson building next to Carson Kitchen, or around the corner from Carson Kitchen. That donut shop is going to be closing by the end of the year.
I thought they were doing okay.
No.
Apparently not.
There was never any word that they were doing okay. There was, in fact, an article... probably about a year and a half ago, maybe a little less than a year and a half ago, about Downtown Project and its investments. And in that article, it suggested that O-Face Donuts and the flower shop next door, which has since closed, that they were both, and I quote, bleeding cash.
Ooh.
So I'm kind of surprised it lasted this long, to be quite honest.
Wow.
How badly does a donut shop have to be run to lose that much money?
I don't know.
Maybe it's, I mean, the location wasn't great, but people seem to like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
We've had them. They're good.
Yeah, they were delicious. And I know some people made a special trip over there every time they were in town, but it is closed. I think if they would have probably done better if they were in the container park.
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, they had a good reputation, I thought. Everybody who went there thought, there were a couple of people who were like, yeah, there are other better donut shops, but for the most part.
Yeah, we heard pretty good things from people. So anyway, that's closing sometime before the end of the year. No word on what will go into that space. It might be open for a while. There's a new restaurant that has opened at Caesar's Palace. I think we talked about this previously, perhaps when it was announced, but there are more details, and I wanted to talk about it because the press release was so delightful.
I'm excited about this segment.
You guys know how I feel about the flood of bullshit that fills these press releases that I get. Usually I just ignore them, but once in a while they are so rich with ridiculousness that I have to talk about it on here. So the new restaurant is called Mr. Chow. There are locations in other cities.
That name again is Mr. Chow?
That name is Mr. Chow. It's a second floor restaurant, but your journey begins. That's kind of how the press release went, actually.
Okay, when you put journey.
I know.
You're not talking about the band.
If you're going to the restaurant, you'll begin in the first level champagne lounge. That sounds lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't love champagne?
I like champagne. It's celebratory, it's bubbly, it's tasty, sure.
There you go. So you're then going to take an elevator to the restaurant upstairs. The restaurant includes a 3,800-pound kinetic sculpture.
What the fuck does that mean?
It means it moves.
Okay.
It's called the Moon, and apparently the Moon puts on some sort of 4-minute show.
Is it mooning us?
I don't know what it does. I glazed over when I started to read that. So there's a 4-minute show involving the sculpture, presumably hanging above the restaurant. Now, here's where it gets good. Because it's a new restaurant in Las Vegas, you can't just go there and dine. No, you can't just have a meal in Vegas anymore. You have to have an experience. A fucking experience. That's what you have to have at dinner. Here's what they explain. This is official language from the press release. Dining at Mr. Chow is much more like going to the theater, full of entertainment. 6 shows are presented to guests each evening. Now, at this point, I'm going, they have like some sort of entertainment in the restaurant.
Some tableside entertainment.
Which I would probably hate as well because, you know, singing waiters and waitresses, that's just that Johnny Rockets bullshit.
No.
That just makes me stabby. But I'm like, okay, what kind of entertainment are we going to have? This is a classy place. What's going to happen at Mr. Chow, this entertainment? Well, the shows are... Here's their list of shows. The Champagne Trolley, the Decanting of the Wine, the Soul Filleting, the Beijing Duck, the Mr. Chow Noodle Show, and the Dessert Trolley.
What?
Those aren't fucking shows. They're explaining the courses of the meal to you. If you've been to a decent steakhouse, they've got the little meat cart they roll out. That's not a fucking show. It's just part of the...
Sometimes it's fascinating. I love the wheel of meat at Gordon Ramsay.
Let's not pretend that it's entertainment.
Yeah, let's not call it a show. No. It's the meat cart.
Somebody might show
sake.
Up and whip up a salad tableside. That's not a fucking show. It's part of your goddamn dinner.
Or if you order, is it Bananas Foster that they light on fire or Cherry's Jubilee? Dessert they light on fire.
But unless an acrobat's going to, you know, fucking spin around on the ceiling, it's not a fucking show.
No. I bet whoever wrote this was just like, oh my God, look at what I have crafted. Please pat me on the back for this.
Oh, they thought they nailed it. They were so happy with themselves. They also said that Chow's signature is found on all the tableware, silver engraved utensils. Ooh, you got a fucking silver engraved fork. Good for you. Silver Fiji water holders. Again.
Oh, they're going to overcharge you for water.
Oh, yeah. Well, if they have a silver water holder, that means your water is going to cost like $12 a bottle. And even white entree plates. What color are they going to be? Plates are usually white, you fucking idiots. With a notable signature by Ty Twombly.
Is it Ty or Cy?
Cy Twombly, sorry.
Cy Twombly sounds like a Harry Potter character.
It does. Well, good for him and his signature entree plates that happen to be white. Oh, my God. So that's Mr. Chow. The name again is Mr. Chow.
How do you feel about going to Mr. Chow?
I'm sure the food is lovely, but this... I don't know. I'm sure it's a great time, but...
Do you have any more thoughts about the press release?
I have no ill will toward the restaurant. I'm sure it's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
It's this. I don't know if this was written by the Caesars PR schlocks or if it was their own PR firm. I have more contempt for them than anything having to do with the restaurant. So, whatever. I'm sure it's fine. I look forward to hearing reviews of it. And if it sounds like it's going to be a wonderful place, maybe we'll go there.
Okay.
But this is just ridiculous. You can go and tell us about the show, which doesn't exist, except for that fucking four-minute moon show on the ceiling, which I bet is just like...
Is it like going to be the equivalent of the Miracle Mile Shops laser show?
It's just going to be a light that moves around it or something. So it you see like... Part of the time you're there, there's a full moon. Part, there's just a crescent moon or some
shit.
Will
there be an eclipse?
I don't know. All right. Other restaurant news. Jardine at Wynn, which is the replacement for Batero, also opened this week. I thought that was worth mentioning. There's a new restaurant coming to Venetian as well. You know, we never had any reviews, reports, calls, nothing about V-Bar at Venetian. It's been open forever. Nobody's ever mentioned it. We've walked by it a few times. I always forget it's there. It's a lounge kind of near their theaters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you never hear anything.
Nobody, you don't think about it.
Let's go to V-Bar, said no one ever.
It's not a destination.
No. Anyway, it's going to be replaced by Sugarcane Raw Bar and Grill next year. It's that establishment is run by the same people who run Sushi Samba at Venetian, and they do already have a Miami location.
Question.
Yes.
Will there be an experience with it?
I can only imagine there will be a wonderful experience.
I hope that experience doesn't involve food poisoning at either of the restaurants we talked about.
Raw food, you never know. It's not entirely raw food. It's not one of those places, but they have oysters and some of that kind of stuff.
Peel and eat shrimp. And,
probably.
Yeah.
It's mostly seafood and poultry. You can look at the menu if
it,
you want.
Is the poultry raw?
No.
Okay, that's
no. Good. That's the grill. That's the grill portion of the menu.
Okay,
you can look at the menu from the Miami location if you wish at sugarcanerawbargrill.com.
How does it compete with Yardbird? Because I like me some Yardbird
entirely,
poultry.
Entirely different.
Okay,
yeah, not even close. This is very, very different. So, I don't know. The menu looked okay. They've got a lot of.
It was okay, but it wasn't like, oh, I need to go there the next time I go.
No.
Okay.
Well, it won't be open. Well, I don't know. I don't know when it opens. Sometime next year. So it might be open next time we're there. But it didn't. I don't know. I didn't look at it and think this is the most wonderful thing ever.
Okay. It was just fine.
It was fine. They have a large small plates menu.
A large small plates menu.
The menu part was large. The plates are small.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're into that, like $18 for fucking.
For two pieces of shrimp.
A couple dates wrapped in bacon, you can go there. All right. Another restaurant note. You may recall, again, about a year ago, maybe more than a year ago, there was an announcement that Gordon Ramsay would be opening a fourth Las Vegas restaurant, and this one would be a fish and chip shop.
I remember hearing this.
Yep. We talked about it. It would be part of the Link Promenade, and it was supposed to open a long time ago, and nothing has happened since then. They've been doing no building. They've been doing nothing. And everybody kind of assumed it was dead, I think, until this week when a Caesars blog article mentioned that the restaurant is still in the works and it's now planned for 2016. So we'll see where that falls on the spectrum of Ramsay restaurant, with Steakhouse being the best, pub at Caesars being the worst.
And Burger being in the middle.
Yep.
I like Burger, though.
I do, too.
I like it more than a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one gets mixed reactions. The pub seems to get almost all negative reviews.
I would not go to the pub again.
Steakhouse gets some mixed reviews, too. There have been a few people on the Facebook group lately who have said they didn't have a good experience there.
Oh, that sucks, because we've
been there
place.
About four times. It's always been good.
Oh, that beef Wellington getting in my face right now.
I know, right? So there you go. We will keep you updated as more information is announced on that restaurant. There is a, I suppose, I don't know. Should we play the rumor music?
Oh, sure.
No, I don't have any music clips, if that's what you were hoping.
No, you'll have music clips if it happens.
Well, this is kind of, I don't know. We haven't used this in a while, so I'll play it. It kind of applies.
Rumor watch. It could be true, but it's probably bullshit.
There we go. I missed that. The group Poison. Are you familiar with the band Poison?
Yeah.
Every rose has its thorn?
Yeah.
Well, the lead singer from that
group. Nothing but a good time.
Brett Michaels. told ultimateclassicrock.com that the band may be lining up a Las Vegas residency in the coming year.
Will there be a Bret Michaels solo set?
I wouldn't imagine so.
Okay.
I think they'll keep this.
He'll keep Absong to himself.
Yes. He will keep his solo, quote, hits to himself and just focus on the Poison.
I listened to that song the other day. Don't know why.
That whole album, the last Bret Michaels solo album is such a piece of crap. It is wonderful. It's like ridiculous. If you have not listened, if you have any interest in Bret Michaels or Poison, hunt down this album and listen, because it's the craziest kind of country album.
Spotify, my friend.
Is it on there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, the residency was supposed to happen last year, but the deal fell apart for some reason. And he said he's hoping it happens this year. Now,
I'd be happy if that happened.
The twist on this is that their drummer is currently undergoing treatment for having throat cancer. So,
oh, that's right.
Hopefully, he will be all right. And I would
love to see Ricky.
I would love to see a Poison residency.
I would too.
Now, next year is the 30th anniversary of their debut album, so perhaps they could focus.
And what's that album called?
Look What the Cat Dragged In. If they did that album top to bottom, I would love to hear it.
Yes.
Gotta cry tough.
Out in the streets.
All right. So, is that the name of a song on there?
Yeah.
Think of that one.
Cry Tough. I think that's the first song on there.
Oh, Cry Tough is. I thought there was another song called Out in the Streets. I'm like, that's Bruce Springsteen.
I know. No, it's Out in the Street. Singular.
I was very confused by that reference. Yes,
that is a lyric. Where you make your dreams happen.
From Cry Tough. I thought you were naming a second song.
No. I was just continuing. Mine. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. I'm easily confused.
You have Springsteen on the brain lately.
Let's talk about another thing going on in Las Vegas. We've been talking about it a lot lately, and that is bar top gambling and drinking.
Yes. Two things we're very interested in.
As we've mentioned recently, there have been some developments recently at the
Mirage. Can we get a bar top video poker thing in our breakfast bar?
Oh, sure. Why not? Just put in like 3 or 4 machines?
Yeah.
Why not? That would be expensive and unnecessary, but I suppose we could do that. So, yes, Mirage and...
I'd hang out there a lot more.
I would, too. I would throw all my shit on there every time I walk in the door. Cosmopolitan and Mirage have been testing drink vouchers for their comp drinks, where you have to play a certain amount and then a drink voucher pops out. We've already discussed that. Now it seems that Caesar's Palace is getting in on the fun.
Boo.
A report earlier today on our Facebook group from Matt says that he was at Caesar's Palace last night. The video poker at the sports bar now has a lighting system for the bartenders. In order to get even your first drink,
like being a bartender isn't tough enough.
I know
the way it is. Come on.
So you got in order to get even your first drink, you have to put in at least $20 and be playing max bet, which is what they usually expect
fair.
Anyway.
That's what they usually do. Yeah.
So when that happens, then there's a blue light on your machine that turns to green, and then you get your drink. Now the problem here is that about half of them were malfunctioning, and a lot of the gamblers and drinkers were frustrated, as were the bartenders.
That sucks.
And then the question is, at what point does that become green again after your initial drink?
Yep.
It's dickery.
It is dickery and fuckery and assholery and douchebaggery.
It's all of those things. Mm-hmm. We'll keep you updated on this if it spreads to other properties or other bars, if we are notified.
In defense of the bartenders, they were always on that shit. They've always been really good about...
Sure, bartenders are fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean,
they know when you're playing what you need to be playing, and they know when you're not. And sometimes if you're not, they'll be extra kind and be like, all right, I'll let it slide this once,
but
you really should be doing this.
They know when you've been bad or good.
Yes, they're like the Santa Claus of beverage delivery systems.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly.
I am Siegfried. And I'm Roy. Our white lions and white tigers join us. And wishing you a magical holiday season.
And a special New Year's with all your dreams coming true.
Sorry, you mentioned the holidays. I had to get that in.
Really?
It's the last show before Christmas. I've only 2 weeks. That's all you
had. That's true. This is true.
Because we took that 1 week off. Otherwise, you would have had a third week of Siegfried and Roy.
Mm-hmm.
Although maybe next week. It's between Christmas and New Year's. We'll see.
We'll see.
I love me some Siegfried and Roy Christmas greetings. Anyway, that's happening, and we'll continue to cover the drink issues in Vegas, because it's an issue that we care deeply about.
We do.
All right. So, before we get to phone calls and a few other things, let's talk about our friends at Viator.
Viator, Bye. It gives you more.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. You might recall last week on the show, I randomly chose Seattle to discuss and the activities available through Viator. Coincidentally, one of our listeners has experienced a couple of the very things that we discussed and chimed in on Facebook.
Cool.
Dorian, longtime listener, previous VIMFer.
Mm-hmm. Current VIMFer.
As opposed to current because we're not holding VIMF at this moment.
Well, not current, but we saw him in October.
Absolutely. He said that listening to the show, I mentioned Seattle and taking tours using Viator. He said, this past summer, I actually went to Seattle and took the very two tours that I mentioned, the Boeing tour and the Chihuly Gardens tour. Both were terrific, and I used Viator with great success. Highly recommended.
Yay.
Hooray. We love to hear that.
We do.
And you know what? It's not a huge surprise that he would recommend them, because one of the great things about Viator is they don't just work with any tour, any activity, anything, you know, that's available for tourists. They vet them. They don't just...
Like, let's say LA. They don't just take any rando off the street who's holding a map to the stars.
No, they're going to get the best one, the one that's most customer-friendly.
Right. Your best map to the stars, exactly. God damn it.
There are staff members out in the field experiencing themselves all the things...
Wait, what? Experiencing themselves?
Experiencing for themselves.
Okay.
The different tours and attractions and shows and all those things that are available, and they're checking them out and saying, yes, this is good. I think that people would enjoy this. And the tour operator or show producer is reputable.
Mm-hmm.
Let's add this to our lineup. Okay. And that helps ensure that people have a good experience through Viator. And in addition to that, they're so confident they've done a good job with that, that they allow people to post reviews right on their site.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody had a great experience, they can say, hey, this was fantastic. And if somebody has a not so great experience, they can post that too. And I would imagine that if the people at Viator see that everybody is having a bad experience for some reason, which is unlikely because they've already vetted it, that they would say, you know what, we're not going to carry this anymore because it's not what we thought it was. So they're doing good work over there.
They're responsive.
They want their customers to be happy, and they do things, they take steps to make sure that they are. And that has been the experience of many of our listeners. They've had good experiences with Viator, and we love them as our sponsor. They've been very good to us.
Yes.
You can check them out at Viator.com. They've got great iOS and Android apps. And, of course, if you're going to book something through Viator, click on our link at 500bymidnight.com first. And then we get bonus points, and it lets Viator know that you know about them from us. So that is the scoop. And as always, thank you, Viator. Okay. I remembered to grab a Facebook group post of the week this week, last week.
That's good.
There were a couple that were easy to buzz over, but I found one that I really liked. There were several that I really liked, but the one that I chose was from Anthony. He posted on December 18th a preview of the new rooms at Cosmopolitan that we discussed last week. He got a chance to check out those rooms and took a bunch of pictures, posted those on our group. So if you are interested in seeing those two new room types at Cosmopolitan, they're quite lovely. And I will link to those in the show notes. So thank you for posting those. We do appreciate it. Would you like to hear from some of our listeners?
Sure. Before we begin this next segment, can we say that our podcast is fueled by our friend Sky on the Rocks?
Absolutely. And our alcohol, which is kicking in already, is now, courtesy of one of our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I think it's good that we have some voicemail messages to get to.
Yes.
Because my ability to speak is clearly diminishing as we go.
Oh, mine was diminishing at the start, so right. It's just been downhill from there.
Well, we have some really good calls this week, so
yay.
Here you go. Let's start with this one.
Hi, Tim and Michelle, Andy from the Twin Cities. Hey, love the podcast.
Thank you.
In Vegas right now. Mm. What I love about Vegas is the fucking bullshitting you can do and just overall social interaction you can have with people at bars. I'm here with my wife, but she decided to enjoy the evening, the rest of the evening, that is, in the Japanese soaking tub in our room at the Cosmo. So I decided to go out and have a couple drinks, had my first verbena, and then bullshitted with a cowboy from San Antonio for about an hour.
Awesome.
Took in the Human Nature Motown Christmas tribute show at the Venetian, and it was awesome. They mixed in... it was probably about 85% Christmas songs, and the other 15% was some Motown stuff, trying to give you a little bit of a little flavor of what goes on in the Motown show. But I'm highly impressed with it. I know by the time this podcast airs, it may only have one or two of the Christmas shows left. But hey, if you're in town, check it out. It was worth it. We bought our tickets on LasVegas.com. And then based on a suggestion from you and Michelle, Tim, we had the Yardbird at the Venetian, had the chicken biscuit sliders. They were phenomenal.
Delicious.
Oh, yes.
I think I had a watermelon sling for a cocktail, which was pretty good. And then for dessert, we had the banana splits, which was fucking incredible. And then for breakfast this morning, we ate at the Henry at the Cosmopolitan. I don't hear about it a ton on the show. I can't tell you how many times I've actually walked by the Henry, not actually realizing what it is. I mean, I knew what it was. I knew it was some type of restaurant/bar. But the food is really good. I had a chicken fried steak, and it was really good. I'd say the Peppermill has one of the better chicken fried steaks I've had, and this was right on a par with that. My wife had an omelet, and she said it was pretty good. So anyways, having a fun time in Vegas. Keep up the great work. Merry Christmas. Bye.
Back at you. Thanks
yes,
for the report.
You too. Thank you.
We'll hear more from him shortly. No word yet on Human Nature's future. They have nothing scheduled after the Christmas shows. There have been rumors. They may be moving. They may be staying put. They may be changing their show. They may be doing the same show. We are awaiting word.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
I hope. I wish them success because I like them
a lot. They'll be somewhere. It's just a matter. Somewhere in Vegas. It just, I think, depends.
Yep.
Who they work out a deal with and for which show. The Motown show or a new show based on other music that's not Motown but still covers from past eras. Either way, I'm sure it will be wonderful. All right. This is some sort of a Twin Cities episode. We have another caller from right here in the homeland.
Hey, guys, what's happening? DJ from St. Paul giving you folks a call. I heard on the last show you guys had mentioned from a caller the topic of bingo, and I just wanted to throw in my two cents there. We had enormous fun playing it as part of VIMPS, and after purchasing the Dobbers in the Plaza bingo room for that purpose, we decided to check it out over VIMPS at Plaza. My girlfriend and I played it, and I actually would recommend it just as a way to kind of slow things down, have a quiet, I think, of the session was something like 50 minutes. It was a good, cheap way to slow it down a bit, especially if you're losing your ass at video poker or other games. You could play for as cheap as, I think, $10 to play all the games, and if you wanted even cheaper than that, I think it was like $5, and you get two drinks, and it lasted about 50 minutes or whatever. So yeah, definitely check it out. One of the better, I guess, more unique parts about Plaza, for lack of a better term, especially considering right outside the bingo hall there were, I think, three or four spots. The roof was leaking, I could remember, the ceiling there on the second floor of Plaza. So with all this love that they were getting, I saw in that review journal article this weekend here about how they're turning things around. Well, I think they got a long way to go there at Plaza. I did notice that the table felts were really kind of gross and dirty and worn, and the cigarette ashes burned in there. Not too good. And I should mention that's where we actually stayed over Vimp, and part of the reason that I think they're not doing so well, they just seem to be cutting costs in every way possible. When we checked our bags, they actually used Las Vegas Club luggage tags. So not a good sign there, especially if you're trying to build a brand and build a following. So would not necessarily recommend Plaza for anything other than, I guess, bingo. It was a fun time for $10 or so. Definitely would recommend that. And
I look forward to seeing that testimonial on the side of Plaza.
I do too.
I would not recommend Plaza for anything other than the bingo. DJ from St. Paul.
Yeah, we've played bar bingo here in the Twin Cities a couple times. I know in a Facebook group someone asked about pull tabs, which are the most pointless form of gambling I could ever imagine. Never really saw the appeal there, but yeah, as far as the non-casino gaming or non-lottery gaming available here, and a bar bingo, a cheap way to just spend a few bucks and have some action. So love the podcast, guys. Take care.
All right. Thanks, DJ. Appreciate it. The best thing about Bar Bingo is not just Bar Bingo. It's when it's Bar Bingo for meat.
Meat, yes.
Meat raffle, meat bingo. Raffle,
love it.
Those are good things.
Pull tabs. Sometimes you can't resist the urge.
Once in a while I have, because I'm, you know.
A degenerate gambler.
A degenerate addict that every once in a while I will go get some pull tabs. It's very rare, though. When was the last time I had pull tabs?
It's been a while. Yeah, but for.
It never goes well.
You had a stretch where you're like, gotta go get the pull tabs. And then it's.
It's more because
it's tapered off.
I know it's stupid when I do it, though.
Yeah.
I know I'm not going to win anything. Just like every once in a while I'll come home from the gas station with, you know, a handful of scratchers.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I know exactly what I'm getting into. I know it's a complete waste of time, and yet I'm like, well, you're telling me there's a chance. That's all it is. So, but it's been a long time. I haven't indulged in pull tabs. Yeah. Maybe next time we're at a pull tab establishment, I'll do it just for shits.
Okay.
We'll see.
I like the idea of bingo as a way to...
slow it down?
Yes.
Kind of do, too. I kind of want to check that out. I'm thinking
not maybe. Just the gambling.
What else?
The beverage consumption. So, sometimes I need to take a little break.
You said you can get a couple drinks, you know, while you're doing it. So it'd be fun being a belligerent bingo player.
It would.
I'm sure that would upset all the regulars, too.
What movie was it? My Girl, where one of the kids yelled bingo and then a fight broke out?
Like I'm an expert on My Girl. You know I'm a big fan of Anna Chlumsky films.
I know.
I have no idea. I saw that once. Long, long time ago.
Same. But I know there was a movie where some kid yelled it and then a fight between several people broke out because someone had falsely yelled it.
All right. Well, next time we'll have to watch My Girl. No, we won't. We're not watching that. That's a nice reference. All right. Next caller, please.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Michelle. Monday morning back in New Hampshire. Back to reality after another trip to Vegas. I just wanted to comment on a couple things. I bought the book. I like the book.
Thank you.
Hey.
Nicely done. My buddy and I make a trip every year about this time. We stayed at the Cromwell this time, which is the first for us. Nice hotel. Very good location, I'm sure, as you guys know and everyone knows. The walk from the street to the room is really short, which is good. One thing it does lead to, though, is that the rooms are noisy because they're right on the street as True. Opposed to some of the other hotels or almost all of the other hotels that sit back off of the strip. So it can get a little noisy at night. Maybe a reason to ask for the rooms on the Flamingo side instead of the rooms that are on the Flamingo side. So just wanted to comment on that. We went to Giada's restaurant. It was nice. The service was good. We did not think it was worth the price. However, we thought it was a little pricey for what we received. I guess that's it. I just wanted to say hello, tell you again, good job on the book, and share a couple thoughts of Vegas. Talk to you guys later.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. Thank you for sharing those thoughts. I'm still interested in getting Giada reviews because they have been so up in the air. It's like people typically like the food, but it's... Mm-hmm.
The service has been inconsistent. The price versus value
in question a little bit. So
yeah.
Anyway, thanks for the report. I love the Cromwell, and I'm glad that you liked it. I'm glad you had a good experience there too. I could see myself spending more time there.
Mm-hmm.
I like what they're doing. All right. Next up.
Hey Tim and Michelle, Andy again from the Twin Cities. Hey, a little follow up on my call. Last night, had seen Human Nature, the Christmas Motown show at the Sands. It was not a bad seat in there. It's a pretty
the Sands
Theater at the Venetian.
Oh yeah,
it's a pretty small venue, so there's not a bad seat. We sat, and they kind of have a lower bowl and an upper bowl. We sat in the upper portion, and still great seats. View is fantastic. Tonight, since Jubilee is coming to an end here, in a few months, we went and saw. Jubilee tonight, got the tickets for tonight, got them half off. We sat very front row center stage, got them pretty dirt cheap, and saw some up front view of some boobies. It was pretty nice.
How was the comic?
My wife and I are both in our mid-30s, and I want to say at both shows, the average age was about 65. Again, we enjoyed both. We had used Uber on this trip about five times. We had rented a car, but last night we used it twice. Used it again tonight. It's great. I know there's still a few hiccups at the hotel. like at the Bellagio, here at the Cosmo, and they're allowed to pick up at the Mandarin Oriental. You can get picked up from the valet and taxi area. When we got dropped off at the Venetian, we got dropped off in front. But when you went to go get the cab, we had to go down into the south garage. And then at the Wynn, they drop you off at the south valet. And then you also have to pick it up at the south valet. So not a huge deal. However, the pricing has been fantastic. Under $10 for every trip. So, I won't be using a cab anytime I want to go on the strip. And then it's been a little chilly this week, even though I'm from Minnesota. I don't like cold in Vegas, so it's been a great, cheap option. Bye.
All right, thanks for that report. We do appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about the addition of Uber and Lyft into the transportation mix. And it's kind of nice because it falls in between the cheap bus option and the cab option, but it still is pretty much very close to the convenience of a cab. You might have to wait a few more minutes. But as far as short rides, like he mentioned, between casinos, it's a very nice option now.
Yeah.
Because you're only spending a few bucks and saving a lot of steps if you've had a long day and are kind of done with walking for the day. You want to get back somewhere or you want to get somewhere quickly.
And sometimes cabbies are really cool if you're going a short distance, and sometimes they're not.
I do. We've
always tipped really well when we're doing a short distance because it's a pain in the ass.
I'll tell them that going in. I'm like, I know this is a short haul and, you know, I'll make it worth it for you because I get that.
Yeah.
You know, because then they have to get back in line and all that. But so I do appreciate that. But I like this new option. It's nice. So, all right. I think we have another. Our next caller has some thoughts on Uber as well. So let's get to Taylor.
Hi, Taylor and Michelle. This is Taylor from New Mexico.
Hey, Taylor.
We are at the Cosmopolitan. It is very fancy.
Sounds fancy.
Between the last trip, which was the Pinata trip, and this trip, we just want to call in and give you some reviews. Itsy Bitsy Ramen, really good food. Very slow service. I think what happens is their menu is they try to make the menu very hip, so it's not very descriptive.
Oh, Jesus.
So, like, you're supposed to pick a broth out of the three broths, and you have no idea what they are because they're all just three Japanese words. And everyone asks, like, what is this broth? And they're like, oh, that's the pork broth, this is the chicken broth, and this is the miso broth. And then give us 5 more minutes. That happens to every table, super slow. So, good food, but plan ahead. It's not a quick place.
That is very good to know. Appreciate that.
Yes.
So Itsy Bitsy Ramen and Whiskey is it on Ogden?
I believe so.
Kind of right around the corner from El Cortez.
Yep.
We've been hearing pretty decent things about the food, but that's the first time somebody's mentioned that with the menu, and that would aggravate the shit out of me. Because the whole point of a fucking menu is to explain what you have. It should be clear. Okay, menus.
All right.
Is there a couple things, actually, about restaurants in general revolving around the menu experience? When you go to a restaurant and they ask you, is this your first time here? Okay, I kind of get that they want to, if you say yes, it is, then they're, oh, well, welcome. We're happy to have you here. But a lot of times it's like, no, I've been here before. Okay, great. Well, then you already know about our menu. It's like, yeah, it's a list of the fucking food you offer. How complex is it going to be? Or any restaurant where they say, well, let me explain the menu. Is it something other than a list of the food options that I can choose to purchase from you and eat? Do you really need to explain the fucking menu? If you need to explain the menu, you've done
There's
something.
There's a usability issue there.
Very, very fucking wrong. And this is an example of that. It's so irritating. Well, let me explain the menu. On the left side, you're going to find food items. On the right side, you're going to find other food items. All right. We got it covered. The other thing is,
I agree, but I just find it humorous.
We were at a restaurant a week or two ago, and we were asked, have you been here before? And yes, we have. Okay, well, the menu has changed a little bit. That's fine. You don't need to tell me that, but that's fine. If I look at the menu, I'm going to say, this is different. I'm so confused. I'm going to leave. But then there was somebody seated at the table next to us, and have you been here before? No, this is our first time here. Okay, well, anyway, the menu has changed, so that's good, because you're not familiar with the old. Why are you fucking telling them that?
Right, right. It's just a menu to them at that point. It's new to them.
You don't need to tell them the menu has changed if they've never been there before. Can I explain the menu to you? No, you can't. It's a list of food. I know what it is. I know what a menu is.
If it's not a list of food, you've done something wrong.
Exactly. And if you have to explain it, come on. Anyway, back to Taylor.
Flipping Good Burger, we tried that. It was okay. We were super hungry, so we thought it was going to be the greatest burger ever, but it was average still. So I would actually rank it below In-N-Out Burger. But it's, good burger, but nothing special. The clear winner of this trip has been Uber. We took the Uber from Golden Gate to the Smith Center, and it was like $6 one way.
Nice.
Very, very convenient. And then my girlfriend went to get massage today, and I Ubered down to Orleans for some degenerate gambling, and like $10 each way. Very convenient. We've been really liking the Uber. Thank you for your podcast, and we will talk to you later.
Thank you for your report, thank you, Taylor. Yeah. We always appreciate your insights.
And thanks for providing Tim an opportunity to rant about menus.
I didn't expect that one. It just came out of nowhere. Didn't even know that was in me.
It's always in you.
Yeah, I know. I've always got something that's irritating me in the back of my mind, even if I don't know it at the time. But how stupid.
It's always in you. Just like
shingles.
Shingles.
How stupid to have a menu that doesn't explain what the food is in the English language that most people are speaking. And this is not a...
Like, if you were to go to Japan and the menu is in Japanese, yes, fair.
I expect that. But don't give me a menu that 90% of the people who are coming into your establishment cannot read. I'm not down with that. You get that at French restaurants a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could you explain this in clear language, what this fucking shit is that I'm going to eat?
It's snails.
Well, I know that, but sometimes you get something in a lot of the nicer restaurants, like they explain what it is, but it's something that nobody has ever heard of. So it's like, tell me what this really is. Because yeah, and then you ask the waiter, oh, that's a cream sauce. Well, why didn't you say it was a fucking cream sauce? It's got some ridiculous name nobody's ever used outside of the kitchen. I'm never leaving the house again. I'm never going to a restaurant again.
Because it requires putting on pants.
No, because I have to put up with this nonsense.
And pants.
Well, pants always play a factor. The less you wear pants, the harder it is to
put on pants.
Put on pants.
I understand.
Because in my current work situation where I'm here at home, not only do I sometimes spend 14 hours in the same chair, but also sometimes I spend 3-4 days without having to wear pants.
And by that you mean...
I'm wearing shorts.
Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, then I have to put on the fucking, as Matt Bellassai from Wine About It called it, leg Tupperware.
Yep.
Nobody wants to wear that.
Nobody wants leg Tupperware.
All right. Anyway, enough about my life. Let's get on to more Vegas.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Michelle. I'm B from Los Angeles or Cucamonga, wherever. I'm currently in Vegas right now for the Santa Bar Crawl, and I had to find some food, and I need to recommend everybody go to Viva Las Arepas. Oh, my God, the food is so fucking good. I got a cheese arepas, and I think it's the best grilled cheese you ever had. Now triple that. Basically, it's like a potato pancake or whatever the hell they or a corn pancake with cheese, and more cheese. And they had a carne asada one with some of the best meat I ever had. But Viva Las Arepas is maybe 2 blocks off of the Stratosphere.
Oh, it's in the murder neighborhood.
Y'all should come stop by and try the place out. It's really good. I'll be calling later on tonight with some really drunken Vegas Santa bar crawl going on stuff later. Have a great one.
Thank you.
I hear 2 blocks from Stratosphere. I'm putting on a fucking vest.
I hear a rapist. Those are a rapist? Delicious.
No.
Okay, so there's a restaurant in Minneapolis, it's in Minneapolis. I was going to say Minneapolis, St. Paul to be inclusive, but no, it's actually in Minneapolis, just off 35. It's called Ola Arepa.
That's no good. Hello, the rape. Hello, the raper.
It's really good.
That's a bad name. Viva Las Arepas. 2 blocks from Strat, there's no way we're going there. That's where you're either gonna get mugged or you're gonna see Sam Smith filming a video in that neighborhood. Either way, I want nothing to do with it. All right, moving along.
Hey, Jim and Michelle, this is Kelly from Canada calling, and I am just calling because I got back from a trip to Las Vegas just this past weekend. So just getting used to being back at work and whatnot. Used a tip from The Outsider's Guide to Las Vegas and booked a buffer day off of work, which was much needed. Really great tip. That's something I didn't ever do previously, you know, kind of fly in at 1 o'clock in the morning and return to work the next day, which is the worst.
Yes, it is.
Your book is helpful.
You say this like you're surprised. That was right up there with members of my family saying, you're actually a good writer. Well, thanks. You're not nearly as stupid as we thought you were all those years. Wow, someone found your book enjoyable. What the?
You actually have good advice. Even though you've been to Vegas 50 times, you know what you're talking about.
I appreciate your level of surprise over that statement. Thank you.
I just wanted to point it out.
Yeah,
I didn't want to sound surprised, but I ended up sounding surprised.
Kind of did.
It's the vodka talking.
Yeah, sure it is.
Return to real life ever. So thanks for that tip. My last trip was a birthday trip, which was pretty great. I'm pretty lucky. I get to go in December all the time for my birthday. And it's really great because I can be value-oriented, really stay in nice hotels and get great flight prices. Really recommend kind of going between NFR and Christmas if you can. So my husband and I did a bunch of our regular things. Most of that was eating off-strip, actually, so I won't really bore the audience with that or you guys. But I was calling specifically because we went to go see Piff the Magic Dragon at Bugsy's Cabaret at Flamingo. We're not big showgoers. We did see Absinthe in our trip in September. Really love that. And my husband wanted to go see a magic show. Randomly just found out that Piff was there. I didn't know much about him other than that he had appeared in Vegas Nocturne and Rose Rabbit Lie and a couple of the talent shows. But my husband, who's kind of a cultural moron in some ways, doesn't really always know what's going on, seemed to know about him, so I thought that was pretty amazing.
Sounds like she has the same level of respect for her husband as you have for yours.
I didn't want to chime in with, I know how that goes. Thanks. But
I obviously had no expectations going into the show, but was really happy that he was excited to go. Tickets were about $53 to $103. There was not really an indication on the website of what that bought you. We ended up just getting the general admission tickets, but I would kind of recommend you upgrade to the VIP tickets just because you get secured seating at the front and you get a separate line. We arrived about half an hour before showtime. The doors open exactly at 8, we were stuck near the back of the line and kind of got crummy seats. I mean, it's not a very big space, and I wouldn't say they're awful seats, but there are better seats. My husband is 6'3", and he could see quite well. We were sitting at the back of the room, but I'm 5 feet tall. I'm kind of a little shrimp, and I really couldn't see super great. So if seeing is really important to you or you want a chance to hold Mr. Piffles, I would say to book up to the VIP or the Circle of Trust, wherever the hell that is.
Mr. Piffles is what what Piff the Magic Dragon refers to his penis as.
That's not true.
There's also something called Piff's Pre-Party. I think that just gets you a drink before you get in and maybe a Circle of Trust or VIP seat. Again, not really any indication on what's what, so maybe future callers can kind of weigh in on what kind of tickets they got. So the show itself is a little bare bones. I wasn't really a fan of the opener, but thankfully he was quite short. And for people who aren't aware, Piff the Magic Dragon is a magician who is part comedy, part magic, with an animal sidekick and a showgirl. He is a dragon slash magician. And so he kind of has this great personality that's a mix of self-deprecation and audience degradation, I would say. Really excellent magic and illusions. There's a little bit of audience interaction, and I think if you sit in the circle of trust or VIP areas, there's a bigger chance of you getting pulled onto stage if you're into that. And so my only big complaint is that the pacing is a little weird. I think he's kind of new to doing a solo show, so I feel like there was a little bit of filler, and I think I would have liked to maybe see one more trick. So it'll be interesting to see how his show develops over time. I know that he just started doing it in November, so and that he's currently touring around America. So he had flown in from Minneapolis that day and did the show that night in Vegas. So
we were going to go see him here, and then we forgot about it.
Here's how the conversation went. It was like, oh, yeah, this is the weekend that Piff the Magic Dragon was here.
Yeah,
Sunday night.
I said it on Sunday night, and that was the last night of his.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe Saturday was. I don't know.
We meant to go. We wanted to go.
Damn it. I should have bought tickets in advance. Oh, well.
You know, if you can't make it to Vegas, I'd recommend you check him out. He seems to be playing comedy clubs all around the U.S. and maybe North America. So my other thing to mention is that after the show, he is selling merchandise outside of the kind of stage area, cabaret area. And he also does something really awesome, which is he does photos with everyone who wants one for free. I think you get to hold Mr. Piffles, his little chihuahua, during that period, too. And I thought that was a really nice bonus. But be aware that there's a big crush of people trying to get into that as they leave the cabaret area. And so if it's really important for you to get a photo or you have somewhere else to be, I would say kind of just step out a minute before and wait for him to come out just to meet him. And then you can be on your way and not have to wait. Next week, I think December 21st through the 30th, he's doing a special Christmas-themed show called Piff's Piffmas Spectacular. So anyone who is going to be there during that period will be fortunate enough to get to see his theme show. I think that'd be really cool. So yeah, all in all, pretty great show. I thought it was a great way to spend an hour. Would recommend it to just about anyone. Didn't like it quite as much as I liked Absinthe. But yeah, really enjoyable. Nice little stage area. And I hope to hear more callers call in about it and their thoughts in the future. Wishing you both a very excellent Christmas with lots of fun, and hoping for a possibly a dyslexic heart podcast, hoping. And I'll check you guys later. I might call in with the thoughts on my off-strip restaurants at some other point. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right.
Thank you.
There's a very good chance you'll get your wish.
Yes.
Sometime in the next couple of weeks.
I would like to hear her thoughts on the off-strip restaurants.
Sure. Give us a call with those two. We also love to hear from Kelly. She has good thoughts.
She's
good,
awesome.
Good calls. All righty.
Great tips on the Piff show.
Yeah, the seating and stuff.
Yeah.
Very good stuff. We appreciate that. And yeah, I would love to hear how the show evolves as people continue to see it. And
yeah, I think it'll get better over time.
That's fairly common with a new show. It kind of has to find its legs and mm-hmm. get into a groove.
Because when he was doing Vegas Nocturne, he only had 10 minutes or something.
Yeah, it was a very short section of the
show.
And
when you're doing America's Got Talent, you only have a very short time to fill also.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'd be curious to see how he continues to evolve.
Yeah, I do want to see the show. I think he'd be very good.
Yes. So.
All right, thanks for that report. We do appreciate it, Kelly.
The real reason you didn't go is because the show was in the mall.
No, that wouldn't stop me. I'd go.
Really?
I am not 100% opposed to setting foot into a mall.
Okay.
Last time I was at Mall of America, I had lunch with the gentleman who provided tonight's alcohol.
Truth.
And that was my bad decision. He's like, where should we meet? I'm like, let's.
And let's go to the Mall of America.
Let's meet at Mall of America. And I didn't realize. I didn't think like, oh fuck. I was thinking, oh, Wednesday at noon at Mall of America, it's gonna be dead. And then I forgot that it was summer and there are kids everywhere. Place is a madhouse.
God.
But it was a lovely lunch anyway.
Yes, he's a wonderful person.
Anyway, yes, this martini is.
As is his lovely bride.
This martini you made is fantastic. So.
Thank you. I'm worried it's a little strong.
Oh, it's a little harsh, but that's okay.
I tried to cut it as much with the olive juice as possible.
That's okay. I'm enjoying it. All right. We have one more call. Let's check this out.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. This is Neil. I just wanted to kind of get your opinion about hockey in Vegas.
I have opinions.
You know, Tim, you strike me as someone who has a good business acumen. So I was wondering if you thought it was kind of a sustainable model being with all the tourists that come in and out? Will it really have a home base?
Sky's greatest.
Will tourists really take time out of their, you know, evenings to actually fill up that stadium? It looks like things might be moving forward with the team, but I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on it. Thanks. Love the podcast.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah, that's a good question. So this is a good question. There's been a rumor for quite a while, and I think it's probably about 85% likely at this point. Based on your rumor scale? That's Las Vegas.
That's more than poison. That's more than the poison residency.
I know. So, yes. Well,
rumor watch. It could be true, but it's probably bullshit.
All right. On the rumor scale.
That you pulled out that sound clip.
85% in my mind that Las Vegas will get an NHL hockey team in the next very soon. I think it'll be announced soon. Whether or not it's sustainable is a big question. And there are a lot of reasons that people question that, partly because of the nature of Las Vegas itself as far as the residents and what they do for a living. Vegas is not an 8 to 4:30 town.
Right.
A lot of people are working at night. They have different hours. It's a very service industry driven town.
Truth.
And whether or not that lends itself well to
hockey attendance.
Hockey attendance in the evening, you know.
Cuz it's one thing for a one-off event, like, hey, right. I need the night off for whatever at the Pearl or at the Joint or whatever.
Right, but you know, filling up however many games, 40 home games?
I have no idea. I should know.
I think it's an 82-game season.
Okay.
That's my guess, and half of them are at home. So the tourist aspect of this is very interesting, though.
Would you go, like, if the Wild were in town, yeah, we would go.
See, that's exactly it. I think there are a lot of people who would love to see their team play while they're on vacation in Vegas.
Yep.
In fact, and then for the diehards, they're going to, some of them will schedule their vacation not just to go see their team on the road, but if they're like, you know what, we're going to go to Vegas this month and our team happens to be there, so let's go that same week.
Mm-hmm.
I think there will be a lot of that. And I think the casinos, some of the casinos will probably buy blocks of tickets and will market to those people. I know that's going to happen. And, you know, the first couple of years, they won't have a problem because it'll be new and novel.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it is with any sports team or any new facility, really. Then after that, it's a matter of, are they able to put a competitive team on the ice?
Yep.
And that's going to have a big, you know, that's going to matter after a few years. We've seen that here. You see that anywhere as far as attracting the hometown. You know, maybe in a sense they actually have a little bit of an advantage because they do have the tourist crowd. The weird thing for the home team, though, is that like a large...
Is anybody going to be rooting for the home team?
Yeah, a large portion of the crowd is going to be rooting for the road team, I would think. I don't know. It'll be interesting to watch. I think it's sustainable. There aren't any major league sports there. It's a good-sized city. As far as people seeing them on vacation, yeah, I think if they make it enough of a good experience, this arena is looking pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing it, whether it's for a concert or a sporting event or what. They're going to have one whole level that is like the bar and party level.
Yes, yes.
I know. So, in fact, what I saw, I don't know if it was somebody tweeted out or it was an article or what. They're going to have more. I swear to God, we're sitting here drinking during our show. We're talking about how great it is that they're going to have all these bars. I know we sound like degenerate alcoholics, but.
And we are.
They're going to have more bars per audience member than pretty much any other arena in the country.
Yes.
So it's going to be a fun environment. There's going to be, you know, maybe they'll have, maybe they'll.
If any arena should do that, it's an arena in Vegas.
Exactly. Now, what will be interesting is to see, normally when you think NHL hockey, let's be honest, we're all there to see a good fight on the ice.
Yeah.
Now, if they have that many bars in the place.
Maybe we'll see fights off the ice.
It might be a soccer crowd. It might be like a European soccer crowd. We're going to have hockey hooligans in Vegas. I don't know. Either way, it's going to be fun. I would go see the Wild play.
Totally.
The Las Vegas Gamblers or whatever they end up being called. So I think they can do okay. I think so. I'm a fan of this. I like it. The more I've thought about it, the more I like the idea.
Mm-hmm. I was ambivalent at first, I won't lie.
Yeah, me too. It's growing on me, and I think it's time for one of the major sports to put down roots in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
It was either going to be this or basketball, and I think sounds like it's going to be hockey first. So
I'm more of a hockey gal than a basketball gal. I like basketball, but not as much as hockey.
Yep. All right. Thanks for the calls, everybody. We appreciate it.
Yes.
Our Amazon.com listener purchase of the week this week. I decided to choose this because it's really the last week for holidays.
Do you have a sound clip to go with this?
No. Am I supposed to have the Fred Schneider song?
Yes.
Sorry. No, I don't. You could sing it if you want. I don't know the lyrics, so.
Okay.
I could probably guess.
Announce it, and I'll try to replicate it.
All right. So this week's purchase, using our Amazon link, is a one-pound fruitcake for $8.
Whatcha making? Fruitcake.
There we go.
Whatcha baking? Fruitcake.
Wow. I'm shocked that you know the words, that many words of the song. If you'd asked me, I would have just gone, fruitcake, because that's every Fred Schneider thing. Just, what's the name of the song? Just say it in the Fred Schneider voice.
Green cherries, green ones too. It's fruitcake.
Holy shit. You really know this song. The reason I chose this is because this has to be a joke gift, right? Nobody actually likes this shit, do they?
Unless it's... Okay, there's two kinds of fruitcake. There's...
First of all,
the heart is a brick fruitcake.
You go first.
And there's edible fruitcake. That's like filled with booze.
First of all, fucking fruitcake is not even cake. It's bread. So let's just call it what it is. It's fucking fruit bread.
Whatcha bacon? Fruit bread.
It's not good. It doesn't even have... It's got like shitty fruit in it.
It's got like the candied red and green shit in it. And, no.
Fruitcake sucks. I'm sure whoever bought this
I'm sure there's like some hipster gourmet version that's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
with booze and real shit in it.
Well, I don't think an $8 fruitcake is going to be awesome.
No. Send the good shit to me.
We have a P.O. box. It's on our website.
We have some rum bread.
We do. The rum bread is fantastic. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there we go. Anyway, it was a tough choice. There were some things that were purchased using our Amazon link in the last week or two that were clearly joke items. There was some sort of erotic fiction called, I wish I would have written it down. It had the word butt in it. I don't know. It was weird. So that was entertaining, but I chose the fruitcake instead. Kind of related. Anyway, you guys have been going nuts buying cool stuff and questionable stuff on our using our Amazon link, and we do appreciate it.
Either way, it's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. As always, it's an easy way to support the show. Click our Amazon link before you add things to your cart over there. We get a small cut. You don't have to spend anything extra. It's an easy way to support the show, so thank you for that. All right. PayPal donations. We've had a few of those this week as well. Let's start with Anthony, a karma donation for a four-night trip to Vegas beginning on the weekend before Christmas.
Cool.
That would be this weekend, wouldn't it?
Yay.
Happy holidays to us, he said.
Aw.
Finding the podcast and Facebook page is one of his highlights from 2015.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you.
That means a lot. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. Taylor, who we heard from a little while ago, made a post-trip karma donation.
Oh, cool. Thank you, Taylor.
Thank you. Hope you had a great time. Sounds like you did. Our buddy Al from San Diego.
Love Al.
Thanks, Al. We appreciate it. Love that guy. We heard from him last week, didn't we?
We did.
I'm still certain he was naked while he called. Don't you think?
I don't know.
He's big on nakey time in Las Vegas. Marcy with a karma donation for trip number 4 in 2015. She said it's a record-breaking number of trips. That's awesome. Wanted to end it on a good note. I hope you have a great trip. We saw Marcy at VIMF.
Yeah, we did.
Lovely to see her there. And hope you have a nice Christmas. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Bob and Beth, longtime listeners and supporters of the show.
Mm-hmm.
This is in appreciation of our valuable observations of the tech needs of podcasters. This is related to our tech issues last week, so we had some static this week, but after that first little thing, it went away. So I'm feeling good about it.
I am too.
I wish I knew what it was that was doing it, though.
Me too.
So we replaced a cable, some headphones. I hope it's not the mixing board.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to get another one of those. I don't want to go back to the smaller one either.
Uh-uh.
Son of a bitch.
You like having more buttons.
I know, even though I don't need them. I like having this here. It feels real. Thank you for that support. And finally, Mari thanking us for everything we do, going next weekend to celebrate her passing her personal training certification test.
Yay.
And the end of a rough teaching semester.
Oh, congratulations.
Well,
have a good
time. You deserve a Vegas trip. So enjoy it. Have a great Christmas. And we do appreciate it so much for your support. And to all of you, thank you very much. All right. So, before we go, First, we should say Merry Christmas to all of our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Merry Christmas to you, all of our listeners. We wish you a wonderful holiday weekend next weekend from us and our tigers.
From our white tiger and our brown tiger.
Our white boxer and our brown boxer. Yeah. Our website, of course, is available to you anytime at 500bymidnight.com. You can email us at... Yeah, oh my God. It's time to wrap this shit up, huh?
That martini's hitting you hard, huh?
Ooh. If you want to email us Dear Tim and Michelle questions, 500@gmail.com. I just remembered we have a phone call that somebody sent into our... over a week ago to our email address instead of through the voicemail line.
Oh. We'll put that on the next show.
One of our buddies from... somebody we haven't heard from in a while from a certain country in Europe.
Oh, awesome.
You heard the call. I played it for you.
Yes. We'll play that next week.
We'll play it next week. Shit, I hate when I do that. Anyway, if you have stuff to email us, 500...
It'll be like a Christmas present for everyone.
500@gmail.com.
Whether you celebrate Christmas or not.
Yes. You can find me on Twitter, 500. You can find her on Twitter. She's Anita Martini.
I'm having one right now.
I am too. You don't need one right now.
Nope.
Are you going to have another one?
Probably not.
No, I might. I'm not going anywhere tomorrow. 702-866-9494 is our voicemail line.
I'm going to a sporting event tomorrow. It's a first in my life, and it'll be fun.
I know. What time do you have to get up to put on the purple and gold makeup?
I'm not sure. I'm still waiting for my friend to text me back. She's picking me up, so I've got a designated driver, so it's going to be day drinking central for me.
I cannot wait to get texts from you while you're at the fucking Vikings game going, it is so fucking cold. What am I doing with my life? I'm going to be like...
Oh, my God. The person in the row in front of me has a jersey, and the font is making my OCD go haywire.
I'll be at home comfortably sitting in my chair with a mild headache from tonight's drinking festivities.
Oh, well.
That's fine. I'd prefer that. But you have a good time.
I will.
All right. Where was I?
I'm in good company.
Voicemail line, 702-866-9494. Call us with your Vegas-y thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. Anything else before we ramble?
Nope.
All right. Thank you, as always, for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it. We hope you have a great Christmas, and we will be back next weekend with yet another podcast.
Probably drunken show.
Some quality. It's the drinking season.
It is the drinking season.
It's the engagement season. It's big bows on cars.
It's carbo season.
It is drinking season. It is December to remember.
Uh-huh.
Season. Do we have any other seasons for December?
I don't know.
All right. Well, we're going to go. Have a lovely week. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.